Sister Virginia Tappy so stirred my heart this morning in the Sunday school teachers' meeting when she talked about her dad and an old songbook, I believe from 1907, with songs written from the 1800s. And one song in there was about a mansion in heaven. And she just commented a few minutes on that and read some scriptures and promises of God in the Holy Bible, and it just brought tears to my eyes and joy to my soul as I began again considering that mansion that we have waiting for us that the Lord Jesus has prepared for us. Praise the Lord. I'm a believer in that. I believe in heaven. I really believe that our loved ones have died and are with the Lord. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I believe that. I really believe in heaven. I really believe it. I really believe what the Bible says. I believe in those what the Bible says about those streets of gold and those walls of jasper and gates of pearl. Why shouldn't I believe it? God said so. He hasn't told any lies yet. I've heard a lot of professors talk. I've heard a lot of educators talk, and they've told a whole lot of lies. I've heard a lot of people expose their plans and explain their plans, and they've all fallen short because death has interrupted their plans, but not God. He's alive today, and He's carrying out His plans to every jot and tittle. Praise the Lord. It's amazing how few people believe God and the Word of God today. Let me read to you my text from Isaiah chapter 53. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? You see, this verse is telling us that not many people believe the Word of God. That's what that verse is telling us. Not many people really have faith in God and the Word of God. Now, I had a visitor a short time ago, and he used to be a neighbor of ours, a friend that I went to school with and played in the backyards with and down the alleys and up the streets with and so on. And he went away and he got educated. And it seems to me that so many of my friends that went away to get educated came back with less faith, if any faith at all. That's what happened to Brian Wiseman. He came to our house and respected us. He got educated and mocked us. He got saved and loved us. Praise the Lord. I've officiated at funerals, and I have seen such unbelief out in the audience. I've seen people nervously wring their hands and twitch when I would preach heaven and hell. Preaching heaven and hell at a funeral? Why, certainly. People need to face the facts. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And I've seen people just respond with such obvious unbelief that I'm shocked, because I'm such a strong believer that when I meet with unbelief, I'm just totally startled. and I have performed weddings and the reception after the weddings, chatting with people and running across and meeting with such unbelief. I have worked for years out in the world with unbelievers and I'm preaching all the time, but unbelief is so prevalent. Well, that's what the text is telling us today. Who hath believed our report? It's suggesting that hardly no one believes it. Hardly no one believes the report. I make hospital calls, and consequently I chat with unbelievers in the room, relatives, friends, neighbors, and oh, such chatter, such empty words that people have to offer today. Now, I really feel justified in wanting to be with believers. And may I say to you this morning that I am glad to be here today. I am glad to be with believers. How many believers do we have here? I'm glad to be with believers. Oh, if you could raise your hand this morning, you are blessed of God. And if you are not a believer today, I highly recommend faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Word of God. So I feel justified this morning in saying that I am glad to be with believers. In Matthew chapter 17, we read the story of the transfiguration of Jesus Christ on the mount. And when he came down, there was a crowd that had gathered around his disciples, and they were questioning them. And Jesus saw the scene from a distance, and he walked up to them. And he said, "What's going on here? Why? What are you asking my disciples?" And they... they said, well, we brought a man that has a dumb spirit, and he foams at the mouth, and he grinds his teeth, he falls in the fire, and we asked your disciples to cast him out, and they couldn't do it. And you know what Jesus said? He said, when he met with their unbelief, he said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? And I'm telling you the truth today. I share those feelings so many times as I go through this life. When I meet with unbelief, just rank unbelief. People have so little faith in God. Remember the two clerks behind the Ramada Inn hotel desk in Fullerton, California, or Santa Ana, California, that I was telling you about after I came home from my trip to Phoenix, and these girls were telling me when I started to witness them that they were agnostics. And upon further questioning by me, I discovered they didn't even know what an agnostic was. They didn't even know what the word meant. When they found out that it means I'm kind of dumb, I don't know, they quit using the term, I hope. Gnostic means you know, and agnostic means you don't know. You don't know. Anybody that brags about being an agnostic is bragging about being ignorant, as far as I'm concerned. Maybe some people think I carry that a little too far in such an educated world. But it's really strange that in an educated world, when education is so highly lifted up, that so few people have an education about God, an education that will save them, an education that really counts. Paul said, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. Well, I'm glad that there are going to be no believers in heaven. I really am glad that there will be no believers in heaven, unbelievers in heaven. In Revelation 21:8, the Bible says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with brimstone, fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Can you imagine that? Jesus says in the book of Revelation, unbelievers are categorized right along with abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters. The unbeliever is classified right along with them and will share burning in the same lake of fire. That's really something to think about. And so our text today says, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? If you read those words in context, if you read those words properly, you will feel the pathos that they are just wringing wet with, just filled with sentiment and pathos. And that verse was fulfilled. Do you know that all Scripture will be fulfilled? The Bible, Jesus said, on the Sermon on the Mount, he said that not one jot or one tittle shall in any case pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Not one comma, not one mark, not one punctuation, nothing. Not one letter, lowercase, uppercase. Not one jot or tittle shall pass from the law till all be fulfilled. I'll tell you, sink your teeth in the Scripture. You've got something in the Bible. This book is not going to pass away. You know how they've tried to destroy it through the centuries, but it just keeps popping up with popularity. It keeps coming back. Amen. In John 10:35, Jesus said, the Scripture cannot be broken. Whatever this book says shall come to pass. If it says if you don't repent, you're going to hell, brother, let me tell you something. If we don't repent, we're going to hell. And the Bible says if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. Then that's exactly what it means. You can count on this book. It means what it says. It says what it means. Jesus said in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away. That's part of the Scripture. This old terra firma on which we live is going to burn one day. It's going to pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away. But Jesus said, my word shall never pass away. So keep that word of God. Hide it in your heart that you might not sin against God, especially with unbelief, which is probably the number one sin. Amen. Let me read to you something beautiful from 2 Peter chapter 1. Oh, I love the Word of God, and I love these beautiful epistles. Listen to Peter as he talks. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. This Bible is not a cunningly devised fable. When we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He is making his reference to Matthew 17 and the story of the Sermon on the Mount. Not the Mount of Transfiguration, excuse me. He says, we were eyewitnesses of that majesty when we were in the mount with him. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We heard that voice thunder from heaven. And we saw the transfiguration. We have also, listen to Peter go on. We saw and we heard. But we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Peter is talking about the prophet's report when it says, who hath believed our report? That's the Holy Ghost inspired and Holy Ghost filled prophet Isaiah, who is saying, who hath believed our report? I'm a prophet. I write under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. I write, who will believe it? Who does believe it? Not very many. But oh, that blessed few that do believe it, how blessed they are. Amen. Now I want to read just a couple of verses from John chapter 5, which have been such a tremendous blessing to me through the years. Jesus said, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, Jesus said. What? Why do I have to believe in Moses? Because Moses wrote of me, Jesus said. For if ye believe not Moses or his writings, how shall ye believe my words? See how important it is to be a believer in the prophet's report? Who hath believed our report? Who hath believed the prophet's report? And now I want to read where the fulfillment of this scripture takes place in John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 30. Excuse me. I was in chapter 11. No wonder it wasn't there. John chapter 12, 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1, might be fulfilled which he spake. Lord, who hath believed our report? So you see, the interpretation of the scripture is given to us by John, who said that Isaiah 53, 1, Lord, who hath believed our report, means not very many, very, very few believe the report. Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Let's take those words for just a minute. Though he had done so many miracles before them. And it's John that's writing, and he writes about the miracles beginning in, at least in chapter 2 of John, when it says Jesus was invited to a wedding, and they ran out of wine, and Jesus turned the water into wine. And the Bible says this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and his disciples believed on him. And so Jesus began doing miracles way back there in John chapter 2. And then you flip over to John chapter 5 and you read the story of the sick man there, the lame man, lame for 38 years, who's laying at the side of the pool of Bethesda. And Jesus came along and did that miracle on him and healed him. And then you go on over to chapter 6, where Jesus fed 5,000 people with that little bit of bread and fish. Another miracle that he performed before them. And then you go to John chapter 9. You read the story of the man who was born blind. Blind from his birth. And Jesus put mud in his eyes and told him to go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And he went and he came back seeing. Jesus did that miracle. And now one chapter before John's interpretation, or John's reference to Isaiah 53:1, we read where Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. When he looked into that tomb and he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And the Bible says, "He that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes on." And Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." Jesus had done all those miracles and many, many more. And the Bible says in the next chapter, though he did so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. I remember when I first began to preach, I was working a certain place in town here, and a customer came in and he heard that I had started to preach. He looked at me and he said, "John, are you a convincing preacher?" Oh, something came over me. Something came over me, and I looked him in the eye and I said, "Ralph, if I was a convincing preacher, would you believe?" And he said, "Well, certainly, if you could convince me." I said, "Well, I'm not so sure I can." And I whipped out my Bible from where I had it, right on the shelf by the counter where I worked. Pulled my Bible down and I said, "Read this." I said, "Jesus Christ couldn't convince them. And if he couldn't do it, how can I?" Shocked him. He asked me many questions from that day on. But he never came, as far as I know, to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus. You know, you would think that if somebody witnessed a miracle like we've been reading, though he did so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. You would think that if somebody saw a miracle, an absolute miracle right before their eyes, that they would just fall down and say, "Wow, you have some supernatural powers. I have to hear what you've got to say." But here Jesus did all these miracles before them. They didn't fall down before him. And they didn't hear what he said. They rejected his words. What are some of the reasons that people use as excuses for not believing? Well, one thing is lack of proof. Have you ever heard that? People say a lack of proof. Let me just read a couple of scriptures to you real quickly from Romans. It says, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them." There is no lack of proof, my friend. That's a lie from somebody's lips. "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." There is no excuse for not believing. But our colleges and our universities are telling students today, vulnerable minds today, children who have gone to denominational churches and have never had a taste and a touch of God, and they're going into these university classrooms and they're being taught against the existence of God. This is a fact. I'm not just up here talking this morning. Many of you that have been to college can testify to this, especially if you've been in the philosophy classes and some other classes. Listen to Psalm 19. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." God is known throughout the universe. There is no excuse for not believing in God. God said so. We just read it. And so we read in Romans 1:18 how God has showed it to them. We read in Psalm 19 how creation has showed it to them. And now finally we're reading in John today, God in person, walking on earth. And he again shows it to them. And he cries to the multitudes of people that he's preaching to, look, if you have trouble believing in me as God in flesh, well then, how about just considering my miracles and believing me for the very work's sake? That's what he said. If you can't believe in me, believe me for the very work's sake. Remember when the disciples of John the Baptist, when John the Baptist sent two of his disciples to Jesus, they were in, John was in prison. He sent two of his disciples talking through the bars, you know. He said, go and ask him if thou art he that should come, or do we look for another? Remember what Jesus did? He took those two disciples of John and he said, just stand there a minute. And he healed the blind man. And he opened some deaf ears. And he caused the dumb to speak. And he cast out some devils. And then he said to those disciples, now, remember what you saw? Remember what you heard me say? Go and tell John those things which ye have seen and heard. That the dead are raised, that the lepers are cleansed, that the devils are cast out, that the blind see, that the lame are leaping. Go and tell John, yes, I am he. God in person right here on earth. Saying, go tell John, my works speak for me. They said he did works that none other man had ever done. Praise the Lord. And now he's gone into heaven, and yet he continues to give proof. He's gone into heaven and he keeps right on proving his existence. He took this 16-year-old boy who was headed for hell and turned him around and put a testimony in my life that I can give to others. That's proof of the existence of God. How many of you have ever smoked cigarettes? How many of you have ever drunk beer? How many of you have ever tasted dope? Okay, look at, you are proof of the existence of God this morning. Oh, the Apostle Paul knew what he was talking about when he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm telling you, saints, I'm not ashamed to stand behind this platform and have the city of Eau Claire come and congregate in this place and take you and hold you up and say, here is proof of the existence of God. These people did exactly what the Word of God said, and God did exactly what he would said he would do in response to their obedience to his Word. Hallelujah. Transformed lives to me is proof of the existence of God. I remember when Brian Wiseman was a sinner and he was going to the university here. He would get kids aside and he would convert them to atheism, and then he would go out and celebrate their conversion to atheism by having a drunken party. And Brother Brian Wiseman told me all these things. And then one day he got saved, and you know that story. And then he went right back to that blue gold room where he had converted students to atheism. And he stood there with a small congregation of converts to atheism, and with tears in his face he told them how Jesus Christ had come into his life and transformed him and made a new man out of him. And when he left the blue gold room after his unattended altar call, he came back to my house, and he said to me with brokenness and despondency and disappointment, he said, Brother Tanberg, I gave my testimony. I've converted so many to atheism and they believe me. I went back to the blue gold room. I gave my testimony and no one believed me. Nobody believed me. I said, oh, Brother Brian, it wasn't you they rejected. It was Jesus Christ they rejected. You just take up your cross and go on following him. And Brian did. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And Brian Wiseman got stronger and stronger in the Lord. People say they don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in the Bible. They don't believe in heaven. They don't believe in hell. They don't believe in all the doctrines of Scripture because of lack of proof. And something else people say is, I don't believe in the Scripture because the Bible contradicts itself. Well, let me just leave a little statement with you today. Men don't reject the Bible because it contradicts itself. Men reject the Bible because it contradicts them. That's why they reject the Scripture. Amen. No doubt about it. And then there's another excuse that people have given to me. They say, well, you talk about this new birth and this transformation, this life in Christ and the gospel changing you, but we can't analyze the new birth. We put it in the test tube and nothing happens. We can't even get it in the test tube, you know. We cannot analyze the new birth. Doesn't that sound like Nicodemus when Jesus said, Nicodemus, you must be born again? And Nicodemus said, what are you talking about? Can I get back in my mother's womb and come out the second time? Nicodemus said to Jesus, how can these things be? And Jesus looked at him and says, how come you don't know these things if you're a ruler in Israel? People use that as an excuse. We can't analyze the new birth. And then people have told me we lack information. I can't believe because of lack of information, we don't know which church is the right church. There are so many churches, we are confused. And they say, we don't know which translation of the scripture is the right one. We don't know which version of the scripture is the right one. We are confused. Well, how many of you ladies have an automatic washer and dryer? Most of you do. Well, if I could use just a little illustration this morning, you wash your clothes in your brand new Maytag washer and dryer, and you hang your wash out. No, you don't hang it out in the line if you ran it to the dryer, do you? Okay. But anyway, you put on your beautiful clothes, you know, and it's so white and soft, and the neighbor looks at you, your blouse or your shirt or your husband's shirt, and says, my, how do you get your clothes so clean and so soft looking and feeling? How do you do that? Well, sir, I have a Maytag washer and dryer, automatic washer and dryer. And the neighbor says, where'd you buy it? And you say, well, I bought it from the Maytag dealer. Oh, what's the address of the Maytag dealer? Well, they moved. Well, where did they move to? Well, I don't really know. They changed locations. I can find it in the book, though, in the telephone book. Well, what date was it made? Well, I don't know. Well, what's the serial number on it? Well, it might be on the machine, but I haven't looked. What's it made out of? Well, where did the metal come from? Now, who is the man that mined the ore? And they ask all these questions. See, they're not going to buy a Maytag washer and dryer for lack of information. And that's about how foolish people are today. I'm not getting saved because of lack of information. You see me, you see the people, you see the transformed lives, you see the miracles that God has done, you see the worship of the people, the presence of God, you see the fulfillment of Scripture, but you got a lack of information. Oh, it's really something, isn't it? Or the hitchhiker. It's 40 below. It's blizzard conditions. The wind is blowing. The wind chill must be about 90 below zero. And the guy's out hitchhiking a ride. His ears are red. His nose is ready to fall off. He's got frostbite on his feet and his hands. And he's standing there in a nice, big, beautiful car with a wonderful heater in it, pulls up, and the power window comes down, and the man feels that warm breeze coming out the window, and he loves it. But he says, I can't get in your car until I have some things answered. Where was this car made? Who made it? What time of the day was it made? What's the employee's name, address, and telephone number that made this car? And who helped him put it together? Oh, where did the paint come from? Is the hood made of fiberglass or steel? Is there? And he asks all these questions. He's out there freezing. The guy ought to just get in the car and then ask some questions. Why don't people get in the church and then ask some questions? Brother Wiseman asked me all the intelligent questions that they teach you at the universities. He asked them all to me, and I said, Brian, I said, he wasn't saved yet. I couldn't call him, bro. I said, Brian, when you get saved, I will answer every one of your questions to your satisfaction, or you can quit. And this was my verse. I was born July 17. That's 7:17, right? So I turned them to John 7:17. Which says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Brian Wiseman embraced that scripture. He said, I got to do it first. then the Lord will show me. He says, I don't believe it. How can I do it? I said, do it. And he did. He tried it. He said, God, I'm sorry for my sins. Something started breaking up in his heart and soul. And he became sorry. And you know the story. He got saved. And guess what happened to all his questions? They dissolved in the experience of salvation. I don't remember him ever asking me those questions. There's just something about it. If you get in the car, you'll warm up whether you know where the car was made and where the paint came from or not. Because the heater's on. You're going to freeze out in the cold. Oh, if you don't know the Lord, get in the church. Get saved today. The welcome is out. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. People are really strange. They'll believe all kinds of things, and they won't believe in God and the Bible. They'll believe in UFOs, sea monsters, creatures from outer sounds from outer space, life on other planets. They'll believe in the Big Bang Theory. They'll believe in evolution. You know what they'll do? They'll seek after fortune tellers. They'll go to handwriting analysts. They'll go to palm readers and hold their palm out so somebody will read their palm. They'll drink tea with a friend and they'll look in the cup. And you're going to be this, and this is going to happen to you. And in 2 years, they're reading their tea leaves as they settle in the bottom of the cup. But they won't read the scripture. And the scripture is infallible. It's inerrant. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so they'll read the tea leaves, and they'll go to astrology, and they'll practice TM, Transcendental Meditation, and they'll read the horoscope. I call it the horoscope. But they will not believe the Bible. Well, let me say to you this morning, I'm so glad to be here with intelligent people. People who believe the Bible. Do you know that some people have the gall to blame Jesus for their doubt in the scripture? Just listen to it. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? It's all your fault, Jesus. You haven't come right out and told us you're the Messiah. When are you going to tell us, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them and said, I told you! What an answer! I told you, and ye believed not. Some man said a long time ago, and it's published, proof of the thing is, does it work? Well, this gospel works. This gospel works. Amen. No, the world says, show me, and I'll believe. God says, believe, and I'll show you. I don't believe that you and I have any obligation to prove to the satisfaction of a man's intellect that God exists. I don't think we're obligated to do that. We're obligated to read and obey the Holy Scriptures. Amen. Remember when Jesus was hanging on the cross? As if he was at their mercy, they said, if you are the Son of God, come down from the cross and we will believe you. Liars! If he would have come down from the cross, they would not have believed him. They would have fastened him more securely to the cross the next time. They would have tried their best to make sure that he would never come down from that cross, because that's right where they wanted him. I can prove to you that I'm telling you the truth. You just read John chapter 11 and 12. Read them thoroughly, and you will find there that they went to a place where Jesus was and where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead in John chapter 11. And they came there to kill not only Jesus, but to kill Lazarus, the one he raised from the dead also. Don't let them fool you when they say, if you're the Son of God, come down from the cross and we'll believe you. Oh no, that's not the case. That's their lie. That's their excuse. They think they've got a good excuse for not believing. And they love their unbelief because they hate the Lord Jesus. So if God didn't prove it to them, how can I? Who hath believed? Only a few. Well, I know one who believed. Three crosses. Jesus, the sinless one, and two sinners. One thief turned to Jesus and believed. Now I said believe, and I'll show you, Jesus said. In paraphrasing, believe and I'll show you. The thief on the cross believed. And you know, that same day Jesus showed him. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. You want your proof? You come like Brian Wiseman did, and your questions will dissolve. You want your proof? You look to Jesus like the thief did. You have ample proof that Jesus Christ is what you've been longing for. Amen. The eunuch was riding through the desert in his chariot. Isaiah 53:1, the prophet's report troubled him. He said, of whom does the prophet speak? Of himself or of another man? He was troubled. Would to God that more people in 1990 would be troubled with the prophet's report and say, I've got to know more. Who's he talking about? Who is this suffering person here? Is he truly the Messiah? If he is, I better put my faith and my trust in him. Sad story. Jesus said, this is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, he that eateth this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What, and if he shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it be given him of my Father. From that time many, not all, but many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. You see, Jesus doesn't have a bargain basement where if you can't pay the price on the main floor, you can get a bargain somewhere else. He has the same word, the same price for every man. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? I feel like Simon this morning. Then Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Don't you feel like Peter this morning? Thou art the Christ. Will you also go away? Peter said, to whom shall we go? Shall we go back to the crowd and fall in the ditch with them? Shall we go back to the Pharisees? No, we've had enough of ritualism. Shall we go back to the old life? No, there was no peace there. That's the way I feel. I think we all have something in common this morning. We all want to go to heaven. Do you know what it's going to take to go to heaven? Faith. Faith is necessary. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith pleases God. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do you want your faith built? Do you ever have a day when you feel a little low? Get your Bible out and read it. Just get it out and read it. And if you can't concentrate, read it out loud. And if you still can't concentrate, read it out very loud. Amen. If it disturbs the neighbors, it'll probably disturb you first. Hallelujah. We honor him. 2 Timothy 4:7. Paul said, I have kept the faith. I'm talking about what we have in common this morning. Jude talked about it, the common faith. And he talked about the common salvation. And we have a common enemy. we have a common goal today, and it's going to take faith that pleases God, that comes from the Word of God, and we must keep to the end. And 1 Peter 1:9 says, the end of your faith is the salvation of your soul. Let me see if I can recall something that came to my mind. I really don't believe that men don't believe the Scripture because it's too hard to believe. I believe that the reason men don't believe the Scripture is because their hearts are so hard. Not hard to believe, just hard hearts. Aren't you glad you're a believer today?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The prophet's report. Let's stand. Thank the Lord.